Now, my reading this evening is in the book of Genesis and chapter 22, please. Very well-known portion. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt. Now, that word is try Abraham, test him. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Verse 7, And Isaac spake unto Abraham, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And when they came to the place which God told them of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything upon him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And we trust the Lord will bless this reading to us this evening. Now, for folk that have not been with us in the nights that are past, we've been looking at deliverances. We noticed a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves and was left half dead. He needed a power outside himself to come and lift him out of that condition. And the certain Samaritan came right to where he was. We emphasized on that night, and rightly so, and we emphasize it again tonight. It was a work that he needed, and only that work could be done with a certain Samaritan. And we tell you lovingly again tonight, you need a work, just like that man. And that work was done to God's satisfaction when the Lord Jesus came from heaven and went to the cross and finished the work for man's salvation. Then we have noticed the prodigal son for a few nights now, and we noticed that he deserved nothing. He wanted everything and got nothing, and he went and wasted his substance with riotous living. But when he came back, the idea is he came back in total repentance. And no repentance and no salvation. You have to be sorry for your sin. And you have to see that you need a Savior. But when he came back, what a welcome. When the father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And then last night we looked at the elder son. Now, in between the son, the prodigal, and the elder son, we noticed the fatted calf. A lovely picture of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. We said last night, we say again tonight, there is no feasting without sacrifice. And it's the person that has trusted Christ that can taste and see that the Lord is good. Now there, that elder son refused to go in. And we trust there's none that are in the situation this evening that won't go in. I want to see another young man this evening and a glorious deliverance in his case. In this situation, we're actually told the name of the man. We're not told the name of the others that we looked at. Isaac, we want to speak about Isaac for a few moments this evening. I want to think of his father. Most outstanding father. Mind you, it's good to have a father that's saved. He's an outstanding father. I want to think of his future, because as he stood, he had a wonderful future to look ahead. And then I want to think of his fear, because he's going to be brought into circumstances, and he's going to find himself having to face the knife, death, eternity. And mind you, that should put fear into anyone. I wonder, is there one that has attended these meetings up to the moment, and you've absolutely no fear? I pity you. I really do. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I want to think of his fear. Then I want to think of his feelings. Fear gave place to feelings. And what's the feelings he has? A wonderful deliverance. Mind you, when we preach the gospel, we don't preach about feelings. We preach about faith. But who wouldn't have feelings when they realize this? I'll not be in hell. I'm going to be in heaven. And it's all because another has taken my place. Now, first of all, the Father. What an outstanding Father. A wonderful conversion. He lived in Ur in idolatry. And God said to Abraham, get thee out. He's going to leave the usual average house in Ur of the Chaldees had 13 rooms. That's the average house. They had a wonderful standard of living. And God says to Abraham, I want you to leave that. All the comfort. All the circumstances you find yourself in. And I want you to go and live in the tent. I wonder if that was the conditions put to you tonight. I wonder, would you leave and live in a tent? But you see, this world is a very temporary thing. It's passing away. And I think of myself, I don't know where 80 years have gone. But I know they've gone because of a starting point. I don't know the end product. The end, there'll be an end. But this world is a very temporary place. And I believe Abraham, when God spoke to him, he looked at the big picture. Would to God, souls in this meeting would look at the big picture. What's that? Eternity. And he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And he's going to get it. And he's going to enjoy it. And I'm glad tonight that heaven is our fatherland. Heaven is our home. It's good to know where you're going when time is no more. And he left all. And he communed with God. And God tests every Christian. Now, maybe that's not the preaching you're used to. But I'll tell you, he tests people. And he's going to test even an Abraham. And it's a big test. You're going to take your son, your only son, and you're going to go to Moriah, and you're going to offer him up as a burnt offering. I tell you, that was a big thing. If you're saved tonight, you'll know this, that you're no sooner saved than there's testing. There's testing. Sometimes people fail in the testing. But there's recovery. But there's testing now. And Abraham believed God. My, even in that circumstance. And I could see them setting out to go to Moriah, the place God had indicated. And he's bringing Isaac. Well, isn't it lovely the son went with the father? We're living in a day when I tell you, you just wonder what you're going to hear next. Nobody will tell me what to do. I'll do my own thing. Well, you don't do your own thing or you'll make a horrible mess of it. And younger ones in the meeting, you remember this. Your parents have lived a wee bit longer than you, and they know perhaps more than you. But he went with the father. Yeah. I can see them setting out. And the father even picked the companions. That's interesting, isn't it? So you watch your companionship. And here they head off. The donkey, the father, Isaac, the companions. And Isaac starts to think. And it's a good thing when you get people thinking about the things that really matter. Because the devil will keep you from thinking. He really will. And the Bible gives us the answer to that. Blinded by the god of this world. Foolhardy things put into the mind. And this meeting will be no sooner over. And you go home. And you can be sure this, something else will be put into a person's mind just to distract them, just to remove all thought from them. But Isaac starts to think. Here's the wood. The word's just a tree. It's going to be the fuel. I would love you to think of another tree. Wood, uplifted. And my blessed Savior, nailed by the hands and feet. Oh, what a sacrifice that was. The fire, judgment. Oh, what judgment he bore. The fire, the wood, the knife pierced his holy soul. What a work on Calvary. But there's something else. He looks at it and he said, something missing. No way you're not saved tonight. You could tell me all about Calvary, couldn't you? You could indicate the reason for Calvary. But you have never as yet trusted the Lamb. He's missing. Not there. Oh, says Isaac, where's the Lamb? Where's the all-important center of the sacrifice? We need a Lamb. And Abraham says, God will provide himself a Lamb. So he did. Behold, says John the Baptist in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world. I know who the Lamb is now, and I know that that Lamb took my place and died for me. Are you still saying, where's the Lamb? Anyhow, they reach the place. The altar's built. The wood's led. And Isaac, 22 or so years of age, is bound and put on the altar. I wonder what his thoughts at that moment were. Helpless, hopeless, couldn't move. And if that was bad enough, to see Abraham lift a knife and come over, and he's looking up, and the knife's pointing down. When a soul gets to this point, like the prodigal, I perish. There's a good chance they'll start looking at themselves like he did, and do something about the situation. The knife, and just at that moment, the testing's over. Abraham, you've passed the test. Some of you young ones will be passing tests at school shortly, won't you? Hope you pass. But here's the test. The all-important test. Abraham, lay not thy hand to the lad. Why? You've passed the test. Now, don't go under and make a mess of your test. You live for God if you're saved tonight in the meeting. But Abraham, you passed the test. And God says, lay not thy hand upon the lad. And Abraham turned. And he looks behind him. It was there all the time. He hadn't to go and catch it. Its horns caught in the thicket. A ram in all his power, caught, and there it was. Isn't that amazing? There all the time. You know, when I could see it, I was amazed I didn't see it before. I was. It was so simple. It was right beside him. How in the world did he get to an altar, put Isaac on the altar, and not see the lamb or the ram? That's interesting. And he took the ram, took Isaac off the altar, put the ram on the altar. The knife rose, the knife fell, and the ram died in the place of Isaac. Well, let's have a wee chat with Isaac. Isaac, you were on the altar. You should have died. The knife was raised. You nearly perished. How come you're coming back from Moriah? How come you've escaped the judgment? How come you're free? Do you know what Isaac would have said? Aren't you thinking? Hope you are. Hope you are. The ram took my place. My friend, tonight, I say it again, lovingly and tenderly. I'm not here because of religion. I'm not here because of my good works. I'm no better than you. We're all sinners in the sight of God, every one of us. And to get our just desert, the judgment should have fallen. And we should bear it personally, individually. But I'm glad I'm amongst the few in a secular world that looks to Calvary and can say, he took my place. He died for me. Unfortunately, you're still on the altar. Unfortunately, the knife is still raised above your head. Oh, says someone, I haven't heard that before. Well, the Bible is very clear. He that believeth not is condemned already. And you are not waiting for a judgment to find whether you go to heaven or hell. The judgment's poised. And it's about to fall. And you'll bear your own sin for eternity. I don't know if I told you, but a little lady in Banbridge Town. I love to hear how people get saved. It's a great thing to hear how people get saved. And I was talking to her. And I asked her how she could see it. Well, she said, I was thinking about that little verse, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. I said, well, so what did you get out of that? Well, she said, I could see myself here, and I'm a sinner. And above my head, the judgment of God, and it was about to fall. And I deserved it. I said, so what? And then she looked at me. She said, do you not see it? I said, see what? Well, when that judgment was about to fall on me, the Lord Jesus came in between. And the judgment fell on Jesus' head. That would have sunk a world to hell. I said, so? But you said, if it fell on him, it'll never fall on me. Oh, I say again as I finish. Get a wee look at Calvary. Look at the wonder that God punished his son. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Take a look, a little look there. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Does it mean anything? It means a lot to God. Because he's his shelter, the Lord Jesus, in a time of storm. You need a sacrifice tonight. The prodigal's feasting. The man going from church, he's in an inn and he's eating. Because the good Samaritan left the money for him to do that. And the elder son wouldn't go in. And you're stuck on the doorstep. My friend, there's an urgency about this. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. May the Lord bless his word.